Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St Albans and from further afield. And coming up later, it's not just the happy couple that can enjoy lovely English flowers. You can do too, and these are super local and organic as well. Now, we don't often talk about beetles, either generally or here on Environment Matters for that matter. Birds, yes, butterflies and moths, yep, bees, of course. But beetles, no, which is a shame because they're fantastic natural recyclers and natural pest controllers. Laura Bauer from the People's Trust for Endangered Species, she's their conservation officer, wants you to start taking an interest in beetles. She wants your help in monitoring the impressive but endangered stag beetle. I spoke to Laura to find out more. Laura, thank you very much indeed for joining me. So, I don't think I've ever seen a stag beetle except in a picture. Just tell us what they look like.
So, they're very large beetles. They're our largest land beetle. The male is black with reddish big antlers, and sometimes they've got a chestnut wing case. And also the females are quite large as well, but they are smaller than the males.
So when you're saying large, Laura, about how large?
They can be up to 8 centimetres long, but they do vary.
So that's really quite large, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So where do they like to live? What kind of place?
So they need, for their life cycle, they need rotting wood that's partially or completely buried. So logs and stumps under the ground. So anywhere you can find wood, really. So in people's gardens, woodland edges, in orchards, parks, that kind of thing, really.
Okay, so quite varied then. Now, they are endangered, and at the last count, there were only a few spotted in Hertfordshire. Is it still worth monitoring around here?
Yes, definitely. We had 24 records in 2017. We'd still like people to look out for them and tell us if and when they see a stag beetle. That would be great. But what we're also asking people to do is to do these transects. So if you've seen stag beetles before and you know you're in an area where you can see them, then it would be great if you could go to the website and sign up to do this transect. So although you have to do it 6 times in June and July, you only have to do it in warm, sunny evenings. So it should be a really nice thing to do.
Okay, so there's kind of two things there. For a start, yes. If we've never seen a stag beetle before, keep our eyes open and report them to you. And then if we have seen a stag beetle before, this is where we select a 500-metre straight line and just walk that out and just, as you say, 6 times over a period, see if we can sight them at all.
Yeah, there's lots of information on how and where to do it on the website.
Right.
Would you like me to give you that?
Well, yes, if you could give us the website, I can make sure I put it on my blog on the webpage so that people have got it there. But if you could just give us briefly, that would be great.
So it's stagbeetlemonitoring.org, and okay. That's for the transect survey.
Right.
Or you can go to ptes.org for loads of information about stag beetles and to record your one-off sightings.
Okay, so that's quite straightforward then. So what do you do with our findings?
So we've got a lovely map from our ad hoc sightings, the ones we ask for every year. And we can actually tell that over the years that we've been collecting the data, that the range of the stag beetle has actually been quite stable in the UK. But elsewhere in Europe, actually, it's been declining. So that's why we want to know, and we want people to do these transects, because it's more about numbers than about where they are.
I see. Okay. So how far exactly does the monitoring range to? You said in Europe. How far does it stretch?
I don't know the answer to that.
Oh, you don't know. That's okay. That's fine. I saw that. It even seemed to go as far as places like Ukraine, which, you know, is amazing that it's such a far-reaching thing. So the beetles are endangered. Why are beetles important?
Well, these particular beetles are, you know, they're beautiful, they're striking and they're large. So they actually, you know, they make us want to be interested in them. Mm. Children particularly love seeing them. They've got a really interesting life cycle. It's very long. They live for several years as a larva under the ground, chewing up dead wood. And then when they emerge, they only live for a few weeks and they've got to mate find a mate, and then the female has to lay the eggs, and the cycle starts again. So quite an unusual thing. But also they're very useful because they're eating this dead wood. They're recycling the nutrients back into the soil for us. So they're part of the ecosystem.
Okay. And what in particular, do you know what it is that is threatening the beetles?
Well, I think it's a lack of dead wood, really.
Okay.
People are tidying up gardens and parks. You know, we don't have just dead wood left around. It's tidied away.
Yeah.
And we need to keep retaining that, really.
So that sounds as if the answer to my next question, how can we make our gardens more beetle-friendly, is quite simple then there.
Yes, if you can keep any stumps, of any dead trees, dead wood is so important for so many species, not just stag beetles. So it'd be great. And if you want to make it look nice, make a log pile or grow a climber up it.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be messy. It just has to have the right kind of habitat there.
Absolutely. Excellent. So any trees that you have taken down, leave those stumps there and let the wood rot so that it's great for the stag beetles.
Yeah,
well, we hope that the survey goes very well this year. Thank you very much indeed, Laura, for joining us.
Thank you.
And I was talking there to Laura Bowers from the People's Trust for Endangered Species. And as I said, do take a look at the Radio Verulam website, where I'll put information about the stag beetle survey. And remember, you can also listen to this and to other editions of Environment Matters on the Environment page of the Radio Verulam website. That's radioverulam.com/environment. Now, Megan's flowers, weren't they absolutely gorgeous and all the better for being English grown? Well, there's a new business set up locally growing beautiful local flowers that I felt sure you'd want to hear about. I spoke to Louise Dillon and Helen Yates of Plot 31. Let's see what they had to say. So I've got with me here two of the lovely ladies from Plot 31, Helen Yates.
Hello.
And Louise Dillon.
Hello.
So where did the idea come from for Plot 31?
Oh, well, a couple of years ago, we were both at a bit of a transition stage with work and families and looking for some inspiration. I read an amazing article about an organisation called Flowers from the Farm, who are a network of local artisan flower growers. And we thought, this was a bit of a light bulb came on. We thought we could have a go at this. So we took up our first allotment plot, Plot 31, hence our name.
Just giving it a go, aren't we?
Started growing from there. So if we go to an ordinary florist, where will the flowers have come from and how are they likely to have got there?
So most of the flowers in the UK are imported. About 85-95% of them come from Dutch growers, or they come via Dutch importers from far-flung places all over the world. A lot of them come from Africa, South America, so Colombia, Kenya, and that kind of thing. So they've been transported very many miles, associated with, many, many air miles, and also obviously the implications of environmental impact, carbon footprint. So that's where we mostly get our supermarket flowers, the big florists. As I say, that's where most of our flowers come from.
So where do you grow your flowers then?
So we've got, we took on a plot just over a year ago, as I said, Plot 31, an allotment, just outside Harpenden, and we've now got two plots there. And then earlier this year, we got a plot just the other side of Kimpton in a walled garden, and that's where we're growing our flowers at the moment, yes.
Fantastic. So, Louise, perhaps you could just ask, so how do you grow your flowers? What sort of principles do you use?
Well, we try to grow our flowers on using organic practices. So we're trying to avoid chemicals wherever we can. So we're using natural fertilisers. We make a bit of nettle tea. We use companion planting, all that kind of thing, really, to try and be as natural as possible. That's the difference with our flowers, really.
Yeah, and presumably your flowers are really very seasonal. I assume you're not growing in glasshouses.
Absolutely. No, we have greenhouses for the seed sowing element of it, but nothing else. So we grow old favourites, classic old favourites like sweet peas or scabious, Bell's of Ireland. So they're often more delicate. They're more varied than the type of flowers that come in on import. And we think, importantly, beautifully, they have a beautiful fragrance.
All the more lovely for it. Yeah, indeed. So who works on the plots, Helen?
Well, we picked up the plots just over a year ago, so Louise and I started working on them then with our friends and family digging them over. But the principle has always been that we are going to have this as a community resource, an element of social enterprise. We wanted to provide a resource for the local community to garden, make friends, be out in the beautiful Hertfordshire countryside, really. So the plot over near Kimpton, we're now running a gardening club there every Monday morning, and we work on the flowers and generally on the rest of the garden.
So is that just anybody who fancies going along to get out in the fresh air?
Yeah, absolutely anybody. We would be loved to see anybody just wants to join in, wants fresh air, just wants somewhere peaceful. It is a beautiful location.
Lovely. And is that the same for the plot in Harpenden? Can people work there?
Not at the moment, because it's an allotment, it's got certain arrangements.
I see.
Not at the moment, it's just at the walled garden.
Yeah, Kimpton's not so far away though, is it? So go on then, what kind of lovely flowers are you cutting at the moment?
At the moment, we've finished the spring flowers, but we're into amazing alliums. We've got some gorgeous cerinthy, and the cornflowers are about to burst.
Yes.
What else have we got?
We've got Hesperus that are doing beautifully now. The Nigella aren't very far off, and they'll be a little treat that lasts for about 2 weeks, and then they're gone.
And Orlea as well, my favourite.
Oh, absolutely gorgeous. And of course, like seasonal food, it's wonderful for a short period, and then it moves on to something different, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Okay, then. So people listening, thinking, that's the kind of flowers I think I could like. Where can we buy your flowers from?
Okay, well, at the moment, we're going to be appearing in sort of pop-up situations, local markets and events. So our next one will be the Harpenden Farmers Market on the bank holiday weekend on Sunday. But all the details of those dates will be on our website.
Okay, which is plot 31, very easy to find.
Yes, .co.uk, that's us.
Excellent. Now, I couldn't help but notice that you've got a little offer on at the moment, your Summer of Flowers offer. Helen, would you like to tell us about that?
Yes, so our Summer of Flowers is a subscription, which is going to be running over the summer months, and it's four bunches of flowers for £80, and we can deliver to the local area.
Right.
And so we won't tell you when you have them. You can just contact us and say we would like some this Friday.
Okay.
And you will get whatever's at its best in the field that week.
So if you've got a few occasions coming up, or if you just like to treat yourself, then you can just four times over the summer give you a call and get some of your lovely seasonal flowers. That sounds like a fantastic idea. Thank you very much indeed for coming and sharing that with us.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
And I was talking there to Louise Dillon and Helen Yates of Plot 31. And sounds like a lovely idea, isn't it? Four times having those gorgeous seasonal flowers to decorate your home. Now, Crafty Little Hedgehogs. This is an event that's coming up, of course, with half term. We're looking for some exciting things for the kids to do. Crafty Little Hedgehogs is going to be an event run by Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust next Thursday, the 31st of May. It's at Jersey Farm Community Centre, and it's 1 o'clock till 3 o'clock. It's a children's workshop about learn about hedgehogs and make fun hoggy crafts. I would do like a little bit of crafts as well. You can go along and find out about the fascinating life of a hedgehog. You can meet Mary from Hetty's Helpers. They're a Hitchin-based hedgehog rescue centre where poorly hedgehogs are nursed back to health and then released. And Mary will be giving a short talk about the hedgehogs. It's going to be aimed at children, so it's not going to be too technical, followed by some hedgehog craft and activities. And she may also be able to bring along our recovering hedgehog for everyone to see. Oh, that would be lovely, wouldn't it? They're very cute hedgehogs. The cost is £5 per child, and children must be accompanied by adults at all time, and it's suitable for children aged 4+, so really quite young there. And any donations of meat-based pet food are very welcome on the day. So if you want to do something to help hedgehogs, actually, you could take those along to Jersey Farm Community Centre next Thursday the 31st, between 1 and 3.30. Okay, so we've got the bank holiday weekend. Wouldn't be the same, would it, without a national garden to go, a national garden, open scheme garden to go and see. And lined up for you is the White Cottage. Now, this is on Water End Lane in Wheatamstead. And it's what they say about it is it's an idyllic and atmospheric setting. It's a riverside retreat of over an acre in a rural position adjacent to the ford. You'll know the Waterend Ford, actually, so you'll know where this is. The Rivoli widens and forms the boundary to this wildlife haven, which could be a setting for The Wind in the Willows. Oh, this sounds good, doesn't it? Sally's garden reflects her unique, eclectic style, and picnickers are welcome. Well, I can think of worse things to do. Well, we just need a bit of sunshine. That'd be great, won't it? So it's open on Friday between 5 and 9, Friday evening. And they're going to be serving wine then, so get a few friends together so that you can share a car, so you don't have to worry about drinking. And then on the Monday bank holiday, it's open 2 till 6, and there's going to be homemade teas. Well, that's all you need, isn't it? That and the lovely river. And admission is £5, children are free, and as I say, picnickers are very welcome. So that sounds like your weekend sorted out. But if you've got a bit of time spare, remember the advice we had from Rob last week, looking for something energetic. Could be the time to spend a bit of time just digging a pond in your garden. As I say, you won't regret it. It just brings so much lovely wildlife. It brings a garden to life. Okay, now remember, you can listen to this and other editions of Environment Matters and indeed other shows on the Environment page of the Radio Verulam website, radioverulam.com. Do follow me on Twitter at @RV_environment, and we're on Facebook too. And drop me a line, Amanda@radioverulam.com, if you've got a comment about the show or you've got any ideas that you'd like us to cover. People come up with some fantastic ideas, and I really do like to be able to ask questions to people, the questions you want to answer, the problems that you'd like us to solve. Now, I'll be back at the same time next week when we'll be hearing from Lib Dem former Transport Minister Norman Baker, who's going to be talking about the Big Lemon Electric Bus Company. So, listening to that next week. Until then, thank you for listening.